The following message is from Jeff Shreve, pastor of First Baptist Church, Texarkana, Texas, and From His Heart Ministries.
What a privilege it is for me to be able to spend a few moments with you all today. And of course, my family and I have already been overwhelmed with your encouragement, with your love. So on behalf of my wife, my family, we want to say thank you for your encouraging words. Thank you for making us feel at home. We are very, very excited about what God has in store for us here. And I know that you already know this, but God has blessed us with an incredible senior pastor, Pastor Jeff, and his wife, Debbie. God has blessed us with a wonderful staff and a wonderful congregation. So it's the ingredients to do something big. And so we look forward to seeing God do some incredible things in our midst. Well, we are concluding a season of graduations. A couple of weeks ago, it was on a Saturday afternoon, and I was running around the church, and I noticed this large group of people lined up outside of the church, and they were lined up around the building, and more people were pouring in. I quickly learned that it was a high school graduation that was taking place, and it was family and friends of those graduates ready to celebrate their accomplishments, ready to encourage them in this new season of life. As a matter of fact, no matter what graduation you would go to across the world, you would hear a similar message. It would be a message to the graduates that you can accomplish anything. Now, isn't it interesting that the older we get, how the message changes? I was reading an article here recently, and this is a portion of what the author said. He said, life is one long, steady disappointment. This dawns on most people by their 30s. Childhood is all about potentiality. The teenage years come with some level of hope and anticipation that things will get better. A person can still carry this into their 20s, this illusion that the world will soon blossom. But not until the 30s does a person realize that much of what's coming won't be better than what has come. The 40s and 50s and on often only reinforce Alexander Pope's infamous beatitude, "Blessed is the man who expects nothing, for he shall never be disappointed." The author concludes, to live is to be disappointed. Now, there is a reality that at some level we will all experience disappointment. Yet, as believers, we're encouraged, we're instructed to have a different perspective on life and the disappointments that we face. But yes, we ask the question, God, what are you up to? Or sometimes we wrestle with, God, where are you in my situation? Or simply, sometimes we ask, God, when? When am I going to get an answer to this request? When is this issue going to go away? Well, for some of us, we know things aren't going well in our lives, and yet we've never fully connected that God is involved. Now, I'm not saying that God causes all of the circumstances that take place in your life. And yet, every circumstance that comes to you must first pass through God. So in some way, he's involved. Well, there are many of you today that would say, God, I am still waiting. I'm waiting for you to come through. As a matter of fact, you could feel your own issue in the blank. I am waiting for God to, and you could fill in the blank, provide a job, provide a mate, heal my marriage, take care of my finances, bring my son or daughter or family member to Christ. The list would be long. Well, today I want to encourage you with just one verse. It can be found in the book of Philippians, Philippians 1, verse 6. And I want to encourage you that even though you may have questions, you may have doubts, you may be wondering, God, when are you going to come through? That if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who has saved you, the one who has delivered you, is also able to get you to the destination that you need to go. You see, there are critical principles that I must understand about my Christian journey. There are critical principles I must understand about my Christian journey. You're going to notice that the points that we talk about today, we're going to put them in first person. Because we want to encourage you, this message is for you. This message is for me. So we're going to personalize it. Well, we find some wonderful principles in Philippians chapter 1. This is what Paul says in verse 6. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. There is a theme in the book of Philippians. Paul says throughout that no matter your circumstances, you can have contentment, and you can have contentment in your life if you are willing to take on Christ's perspective. You see that in Philippians 1, 6. You see it in Philippians 2, verse 5. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see it in Philippians 4, 8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there's anything excellent or praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, I want to remind you, when Paul was writing this letter, he's not sitting in a 5-star hotel. As a matter of fact, he is in a Roman prison. He is isolated. He is in the midst of persecution. He is in a tough time. And yet, even with those difficulties, even with those challenges, Paul is content. He says, I can walk with confidence. I can walk with confidence. He says, for I am confident of this very thing. Paul says, I'm convinced of it. I'm persuaded of it. I'm resolute about it. Whatever he's getting ready to say, he says, I am confident of this very thing. I am standing on it. I am trusting in it. I'm believing in it, for I am confident of this very thing. No matter the challenges, no matter the obstacles, no matter the bruises, I am confident. You know, believing in something despite your circumstances will make all the difference in the world. Some of you know that the Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken, I use a lot of food illustrations, so you all get used to that. But the Colonel Sanders went to over 1,000 people and was rejected when he tried to introduce his unique recipe for chicken. Walt Disney went to over 100 banks when he was trying to open up Disney, and he was rejected time and time and time again. Well, Paul is asking us to have confidence in something greater than an idea, greater than a concept, but to have confidence in a person. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day." Your confidence has very little to do with what you can do, and everything to do with what he can do. You see, God is my only source. God is my only source. There is a difference between a source and a resource. What is the difference between a source and a resource? Where a source refers to the origin from which you receive everything you have. That's a source. God is our source. It was just last Sunday that our source of power went down, the substation went down, and it impacted all the residents in that particular area, including the church. The source went down, and then all that around it that it powered went down with it. Well, in this case, in a spiritual sense, God is our source. And he provides and works in our lives through resources. Your job is a resource, not the source. Your money is a resource, not the source. People can be a resource, they are not your source. I love the way James puts it in James 1:7. He says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from above." A resource is something that can enhance your life in some way. You see, God is our provider, and he uses resources in our lives. And yet, where we can make a mistake is when we take a resource and we put it in the position of the source. I've heard a lot of stories from people who say, "Oh, my life would be so much different if this hadn't happened to me, if this person had have not gotten me fired, or if this would have taken place in my life, if this door would have been open, oh, how my life would be different." We see people that will blame circumstances for the current condition of their lives, and yet the question on the floor for you and for me is, can a person, can our circumstances stop God's plan in your life? As wrong as the action that someone may have done to you or to me may have been, it's legitimate that what took place was wrong. What took place was a blow to you, was a blow to me. But does that have the final say? Can someone step in front of God Almighty and say, God, I'm in charge here. Your plan for Marcus, your plan for John, your plan for Beth will not take place. I'm in charge. We know the answer to that. That's impossible. God is in charge. God is our source. And everything else that we have in our lives are resource. So when something does not work out as planned, when evil takes place in your life, it is not the final word on the matter. God is our source. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" God had a plan for you before you were ever born. God was working things out for you before you took your first breath. And when you came into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you begin to walk in the purpose and plan that He has for your life. He gave you a calling and a purpose that is much bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. You'll never be able to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish on your own. You'll need God's help. You see, because at the end of the day, God's plan and purpose for your life is His work in and through you. It is God's work. It's based on His word. It's based on His work. It's based on His character. Now, there are times in our lives where we doubt, God, are you going to come through for me? Are you going to provide for me? And God invites us in those times of doubt, we all have them, He invites us to do a character reference. You know what a character reference is. A character reference is when you are interested in a position, a job, the employer will say, if you'll provide me some character references, provide me some names of some people who know you and know what you can do, and we're going to have a conversation with them. And in this character reference that takes place, the employer calls your character references and they ask, can they really do what they said they can do? Are they really reliable? Are they really trustworthy? Well, do you know that God does the same for us? He says, when you doubt, do a character reference. He says, in my word, you will find plenty of examples of people that I intervened in their life, and I did what I said I was going to do. He said, hey, take a look at Abraham. Abraham, he said, hey, I'm going to make you a great name. I'm going to bless you with descendants in the generations to come. I'm going to bless you. And Abraham heard those promises, and he said, you know, there's a problem. I don't even have kids. I don't even have the ability to have kids. And yet at 100 years of age, God fulfilled His promise. But there are plenty of examples in God's Word that we could do a character reference. But I would imagine that there are people here today that could give a character reference for God. People who could testify, people who could share, oh yeah, I remember there was this time in my life when I didn't know how God was going to come through. I didn't know how He was going to intervene. I didn't know how He was going to heal. I didn't know how He was going to answer the prayer request, but God came through. Amen. So you can do a character reference by looking into his word and looking at example after example after example of those that God came through for. But you can talk to a brother or sister in Christ in this church and you will find testimonies of people that God has come through for. You can do a character reference. Well, it's God's work. And it's encouraging to know that God's work in me is good. God's work in me is good. He who began a good work in you. What's happening inside of you, what's happening inside of me is a good work. God made an investment in us through Jesus Christ giving his life on the cross and rising victoriously from the grave. God has made an investment in each of us, and his work is good. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." God's good work, it starts at salvation, but God's good work continues. He has a plan, and his work is good. I love what Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher and theologian, says when he was doing commentary on this particular verse, Philippians 1:6. He says, "Because this good work was begun, Paul was confident of its completion." God is a worker who completes his works. Where is there an instance of God beginning any work and leaving it incomplete? Show me once a world abandoned and thrown aside, half formed. Show me a universe cast off from the great potter's wheel without design. The clay half-hardened and the form unshapely from incompleteness. God's work in us is good. It's a personal work. God's work is personal. He who began a good work in you. God is working in you. I find it interesting, and I struggle with this at times as well, how we are so good at encouraging other people about God's work. It's easy for us to talk to someone and say, "Man, I see God at work in your life. I see God doing amazing things in you and through you." I mean, we can build other people up. We can just pour it on and be totally genuine. Man, you can do it. God has equipped you. But then put a mirror up in front of ourselves. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I know he can do it for her and for him, but I don't know. I'm a tough case. And we somehow are hesitant to personalize it, that God's work is in us. He is at work in you. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Not only is God's work in you, it is personal, but God's work is guaranteed. God is at the beginning of your journey, he's actually before. And God is at the end of your journey, he's actually after. As it relates to your journey and mine, God is there from beginning to end. He begins what he finishes. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to perfect it. Perfect it is the same word used when Jesus says, "It is finished." God will do what he said he will do. When it comes to his plan and his work, God guarantees his presence to the very end. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God finishes what he started. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. If you know Jesus Christ, he has began a good work, and he will be faithful to complete it. I love what this saying challenges us to think about. It says, you may think you see all there is to see, but many times God sees something totally different. You may think you see all there is to see, but many times God sees something totally different. God is working. God has guaranteed his work in us, and yet we have limitations of what we see. But sometimes we make the mistake of having full faith in what we can see. And God says, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me that what I have started, I will finish. But here's one of the most challenging things about embracing this truth that God is going to finish what he started in us. God is going to get us to our destination. And that is, God's work is a process. God's work is a process. None of us has arrived yet. And our destination, as much as we would love it, does not include a yellow brick road where we can skip and hop all the way to where God wants us to be. Yet nothing God permits in our lives is accidental or without design. It's been said that our journey with God is like being blindfolded on an obstacle course. And we must trust the voice of our coach to get us to our destination. We must trust our heavenly guide to get us where we need to go. When I was a little boy, I was at a water park. And I saw this slide, this water slide, and I said, oh, that looks like that would be fun. And so I mosey on, climb up to the water slide, and I go down. And the first thing I'll tell you is it was faster than I thought. So I was kind of twisting and turning and on my way down, and it was not as enjoyable the first time down. And so I'm twisting and turning, and I get to the bottom, and I didn't look, but I landed in a pool, and I didn't realize this ended in a body of water. And so I slam down into the pool, I'm under the water, I come up, help! Go back down. I come back up, Mama! Go back down. Jesus! I think that was my day of salvation. I say it was when I was 10 at Vacation Bible School. I really think it was probably when I was 5 and I was in this pool of water. And so I'm screaming for help, and then I notice the lifeguard. He comes with his equipment and he stands over me, and I come back up. I look at him and he says, stand up! So I stood up and got up. It was much funner the second time. I think it's like that for us in our Christian journey. When we're in the middle of it, we think we are drowning. We think there is no hope. We think God can't hear us. We think something has desperately gone wrong and this is the end. And if we'll listen to His voice, we'll hear God say, stand up. I got you. I'm going to get you to where you're supposed to go if you'll trust me. I've got you. We may not be able to understand some of the things that take place in our life, but one day it'll all come together and we'll see that God truly did cause all those things to work together for good. If I were to offer you a stick of butter, most of you would say, thanks for offering, but no thanks. If I were to offer you a cup of flour, you'd say, looks interesting, but I'll pass. Well, what about a cup of sugar? You'd say, I like sweet things, but I typically don't eat a cup of sugar. I'll pass. Said, well, here's some teaspoon of baking powder. No thanks. An egg. Here's a raw egg. You just crack it and throw it in and it'll go down real fast. Most of you would say, I'll pass. But if you take each of those items, you stir them up together, you come up with something very beautiful called a cake. God is interested in taking those things in your life and my life that they look right now like they make absolutely no sense. And we would be glad to say, take it. I don't want it. I'm not interested in it. God is saying, if you'll trust me, if you'll be confident that He, being God, who began a good work in you, is taking those things and blending them together for something good. You see, most things in life that are worthwhile take time. A great marriage, it takes time to develop. Our children, it takes time. A great career, it just takes time. So a key principle for us is to realize that God's work, it is a process. But He is working. And it's so important for us that in fully experiencing God's plan for my life involves a willingness to surrender to His way, to trust Him, to trust that God and only God can take lemons and make lemonade. This is how good God is. God knew before I was ever born and before you were ever born that I would need this message. I would need to study this message. I would need to apply this message. I would need to hear this message. And God knew before you were ever born that you needed to be here today to hear this message. That's how committed God is to getting you to your destination.
You've been listening to Pastor Jeff Shreve of First Baptist Church, Texarkana, and From His Heart Ministries. For a complete listing of Pastor Jeff's messages, check out our website at fromhisheart.org.